Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Extra Point Podcast. It's usually released on Tuesday, but as we said Sunday, we're actually doing 5 episodes this week, one a day for this work week. And so welcome to this first Extra Point Podcast. My name's Todd, one of the pastors here at First Family. Today's Monday, July 15th. And I have the pleasure of having as my guest on this episode, Adam Bailey, who is our next-gen director. Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. And I think you've been on a few other podcasts of First Family, right?
Yep.
And we've actually done an Extra Point together.
That's right. Yeah, it's been fun.
So you're not a newbie at all.
Not a newbie. Familiar around these parts.
Familiar. That's good. It's been great having you on staff. Thanks for your work. And, of course, just to affirm something off topic here, we do have Ali's been on staff now. He's hired now a number of weeks, I think, what, 3 or so. So, man, it's good to have every stable full of like all the horses are in the barn, so to speak. We're going at full steam, full speed, staff-wide. So that's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we feel like we have all the players in position. Now it's just, let's go after the, spreading the kingdom of God. I think that's what's good is now we just get to go.
Yeah, I think maybe players in position is a much better analogy than stables and the horses in the stable.
Hey, so I like
good
horses.
For you.
I mean, I'm not kind of afraid of horses, but it's fine,
That's funny. Well, just so our listeners will know, we are taking this week and we're going to be reviewing the 5 applicational statements that we made in our message on last Sunday. And we're taking one a day. And so, Adam, you get to kick things off and in this 5-day review, so to speak. And here's applicational statement number 1. It is to interpret the earthly through the heavenly. And let me remind you what we're aiming at. And that is that we, as your elders, have kind of put together some applicational, I want to be stronger than tips, but I will admit there's probably more things we can do. These are just 5 things that we feel would help our flock set your minds on things above to seek those things which are above. Those are the main verbs in Colossians 3:1-4. And sometimes it seems so large and such a tall task that we think, how do we do that? And so that's the heart behind these 5 statements. Here's 5 things that if you just employ these, it would for sure help you to that end. The first one being this, interpret the earthly through the heavenly. So Adam, you get the first one, bud. Yeah, what crosses your mind? What's your first thought when you hear that phrase?
Yeah, I think the first word that I think about is perspective. I think when you look at your life, like a lot of life is just the random Tuesday. And I think, how am I going to tackle Tuesday as a believer in Jesus? And I think there's so many things that we're thrown at, whether it's, sickness, illness is going on, just the stresses of toddler life and families or a wayward child going on. And so there's just so much going on in life. And as a follower of Christ, like how do we process and digest the things that we see on earth? Like the things that we see just in the natural courses of our life, whether they're positive or negative.
The normal Tuesday stuff.
The normal Tuesday stuff. And so even when we have the highs and the lows, like those are important, but it's also just in the day-to-day stuff. Like how are we filtering life? And I love that idea. Like, how are we interpreting? Because we don't want to just go through our life, like just randomly, just aimlessly going through it. We have to be able to process and have the right perspective when we encounter something. So I think that that's the first word that pops into my mind is that idea of perspective and mindset.
This reminds me a little bit, Adam, of that old saying that sometimes people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you heard that before?
I think so, yeah. I think generally speaking.
And I think I get the heartbeat of that. They're probably saying that someone's not paying attention to what's around them on the normal Tuesdays.
Yeah, like, kind of like the disciples looking up at the clouds when Jesus leaves. Like, we're so focused on heaven that we're not actually getting the job done. Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps. And okay. Then he says to them, why are you gazing up, right?
Yeah.
But I think that statement's actually fundamentally false because I tend to think the reason we're not more earthly good is because we're not more heavenly minded. If we actually sought the things above and set our minds there more, we'd actually be of more earthly good.
Right.
So to our listeners, if you hear that phrase or if you've heard that phrase, I think the heart of it has a good intentions, but frankly, it is probably a little misleading because it doesn't really match Colossians 3 at all.
That's why I've loved the book of Colossians because it gives us so many practical tools for the daily living. Like you said in Colossians 3, it's setting our minds. You know, a lot of the problems in the Christian life start in the mind. Everything you do started as a simple thought.
And let's address maybe the biggest one regarding who we are.
Right.
If we interpret who we are through the heavenly first, we'll see some of the things that Paul talks about in the attached passage to this statement.
Yep.
We encourage our folks to read an attached passage every day as well. You have that in front of you, right, Adam? Philippians 3?
Yep.
Read that for us.
Yeah, this is Philippians 3, starting in verse 7. It says, "But everything that was gained to me, I considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, as that so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith." You want to keep going on that one?
No, that's good.
Okay.
I mean, the three words, and I mentioned this Sunday, in view of.
Yeah.
You can hear Paul's heartbeat. Like,
yeah.
I'm assessing what I've lost or what I've gained or where I am or who I am in view of Christ. And so
yeah.
Let's start with this, who I am. Young moms, empty
right.
nesters, teenagers. If we would start with the heavenly first, I think it would relieve a lot of either peer pressure in the younger ages or maybe social media pressure to these young families.
Yeah.
How does God see us before how does the culture see us?
Like I said, it's where a mom will grow in anxiety and really struggle with their identity because they just look at the mess. They look at the living room and think, this is all I am, is just a cleaner-upper and someone who just takes care of my kids. It's actually, no, you're if you are bought by Christ, you are a child of God. And I think if you have that mindset, then it's still hard, but like— It begins to change the way that you're thinking and processing. And now you're not just a caretaker, but you're actually investing gospel seeds into people who hopefully one day will become Christ followers. Changes just that random hard Tuesday. So yeah, identity is a huge one, Todd.
As I mentioned, Sunday, this really deals with worldview issues, isn't it? I mean, how people see the world.
Yep.
And of course, a Christian's worldview always starts with God. So in a way, that's kind of repetition. I'm saying the same thing as we're saying here, heavenly view, right?
Right?
A worldview that starts with God. Talk a bit about worldview. I know you work with our Next Gen Ministries. That's especially pertinent when junior hires and senior hires are in that, you know, developmental stage. Talk about worldview for a little bit.
I think especially as kids, you know, students in particular, right? Like you're constantly funneling everything through something. And so what we see that is pushed forward in our culture is obviously a worldly, you know, worldview. It's a worldview that's all about self and me, and that is their worldview. You become your own worldview. And so you begin to filter everything with, if you're on the throne of your life, that becomes your worldview. And so everything gets funneled into that regard. And so it's the way that I think about worldview is like, it's that set of principles that I'm basing my life on. And it's the thing that I'm investing in. One thing that I don't know why this came to mind when you mentioned this idea of heavenly and earthly, I was thinking about a question that I actually hear a lot from students and college students as well, is just the age old question of why does God allow suffering to happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Great question. Great, tough question. This, I think, goes into worldview because that question is difficult when you put a name to a face. Why did grandma have to suffer? So you take that one isolated event, and what I've had to flip in my own brain, and I think this goes to worldview, is I actually don't want to start with the event. I want to start first with the character of God and that being my worldview, and then ask, and then really make this statement. I don't know why bad things happen in the way that they happened, but here's what I do know. However God uses that, it's to maximize his glory. So you see how like that is, that's a filtering the heaven first and then approaching the earthly. I don't go, well, I hate that grandma died, so then God must be bad. It's, I know that God is good and he's only going to maximize glory. So even though this hurts, somehow there is the death of his saints as we see in scripture. So you see how like we can filter one through the other. And I think that's what kids are struggling with. They're trying to figure out who they are. And so they look at isolated events and then base God on that, as opposed to saying, this is who God is. And then now I can see how things are unfolding. That's the beauty of scripture, is when you're like, oh my gosh, I see this everywhere. I don't know why that popped in my head, but that was like the first thing that I see that kids are wrestling with. They're wrestling with big worldview questions.
Well, like, who am I? Why am I here? Those are typical worldview questions. Like you said, where am I going? And I love what you said, that the answers start with God. And so if you're not starting with God, you don't have a Christian worldview.
Right.
In fact, let's just even make this point even plainer. Any worldview that doesn't begin with God, you can call it secularism,
right,
humanism. It's going to end up in a bad place, right? And so we see that in our culture. But a Christian worldview, and I just want to affirm what you said, it always begins with God. We may not understand all that's happening on the earth, but we're assured of God's character. And that's the beginning of a worldview that actually works in the long run. Mm-hmm. So I think your example was very fitting. You know, someone dying, or, and it could be anything like that. So yeah, worldview matters. And I want to encourage our young people in our Next Gen Ministries, don't underestimate the power of developing a framework for how you view things and how you think about large questions. They do affect your life. And the beginning filter for all of those is, as Adam said, God, his character. And what does he say is true, regardless of how we feel, right?
Right. Well, and the beauty of this is that we don't have to develop this on our own. Like, we have God's
exactly
word.
Exactly right.
That's why it's like, it's actually, it's not easy to be a Christian, but you get my point when I say it's not complex in the idea of like, we don't have to like, I wonder what my worldview should be today. Like, we have God's word. And that's why we stress so much.
Amen.
Get in the book so that when you're struggling, because if you're not struggling right now, you might be struggling, but like at some point you're going to need to rest in God's character for that event. And so we've got the map, we've got the book. Let's get in the book.
And you don't have to be clever to be a Christian.
Right.
Figure something out like, oh, I found the secret or the code.
Right.
Amen. It's written for us. God's plainly self-revealed himself through his word and his son. Amen to that. Well, any last thoughts you have for, I'm going to hear kind of hone in on Next Gen Ministers. You've kind of answered that way a good bit already, but let me just hone in more. Those who are listening, you know, they've got a 5-year-old or a 16-year-old. What would you say about filtering the earthly through the heavenly? What would you say to them in this moment just before we close off?
I think this is why, first and foremost, it's so important to be in God's word. Because if you're not intaking the gospel, why would your eyes ever filter through the gospel? And so it first starts with, and this is really hard to do because as a parent of young kids, it's hard to find those extra few minutes. And so, but the need is there of like, if you can find that time first to input God's word in your heart, hide it in your heart, then I think that's the first step in the right direction. So I think that's what I would first say. I think the other thing just becomes, like I mentioned early on, it's all about just the day-to-day life of how do I filter everything that's happening. So let's take in our kids' ministry, when you're a parent and you're struggling with discipline, and you're thinking, I don't know how to discipline my 6-year-old. So right now you're faced with actually a worldview question, because you're faced with, I can either discipline him like the world does, either ignore it or just let him be and let him run wild, let them be their own me, which is funny. Like we can say that about certain kids, but then it's like, you don't want your kid to just decide what they want. So you're faced with a decision. Now, do I biblically filter this one isolated event of them lashing out or whatever, or do I just go the way of the world? And so I would say that's how I filter the heavenly through the, or that's how I look at the earthly through the filter of God and his kingdom is first, what does God's word have to say about discipline? And then how should I approach? And then we're going to just have this level of grace in this situation. We're going to get it wrong at times. And I think that's what I see in Next Gen Ministries a lot is we're going to get sometimes these things wrong. We're going to sometimes be so consumed with the earthly because it's all about the day-to-day. You're almost always kind of just surviving. But if you can switch that mindset and think, I'm not just surviving, but I am trying to raise up the next generation of Christ followers, it makes playing with Play-Doh at the dinner table different than just, I need to get to bedtime. Like, once again, this is a worldview. I'm not just trying to get them older. I am trying to sow gospel seeds into my kids. And so that's just a kids ministry one, I would say in particular, but we're all faced with worldview questions. And first and foremost, in order for you to know the worldview of the Bible, you got to know the Bible.
Yeah.
So get into church, get into the Bible.
And it is come down. It does come down to, in every situation, you talk about normal Tuesdays at the beginning, right? Whatever word you use there, which is pretty cool. Well, I like the way you put that. In the moment, let's say it's discipline. Do you trust God's word?
Yep.
When a culture or a person or a platform is calling you crazy or odd or you're out of touch, will you still trust God's word that this is the right way? So it is. It's about God's word, trusting it, and then implementing it to the best you can. You're right. We need a lot of grace. No one implements it perfectly every time. But I do find over time, we, you know, through practice, I think Hebrews 5 talks about this, we get our senses trained to discern, and we become better at it through God's power and through His Spirit and His Word. So, Adam, thank you so much for just leaning in here with us a little bit. Thanks for kicking off this week of 5 Extra Point Podcast. And for our listeners, remember, these are aimed at helping you implement some strategies from God's Word that will help us obey Colossians 3, 1 through 4, namely, to set our minds on things above and to seek those things which are above. After all, that's where Christ is. And since our life is hidden with Christ in God, let's do our best to live there.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.